This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider.
Hello, everyone, and welcome along. It's a new edition of Betting Weekly Game Bet Match, number one tennis betting podcast and YouTube show with myself, Nigel Seeley, your host, and our senior ATP Tour handicapper, Sean Calvert, who's returned back from Indian Wells safe and sound to his home in lovely Lee-on-Sea. How you doing, my friend?
Safe, yeah. I don't know about sound, but...
You've never been sound.
No, well, there you go. There's even less chance of me being sound after that... After that journey, no, it's no problems. I've had two good flights actually. I had the seat next to me was empty on both.
That's why then.
Even both the right way out and the way back. In fact, on the way back, it did have somebody in it, but I managed to persuade her to move because she wanted I had the two seats at the front, which are kind of near the toilet, so you got loads of leg room. I always get those seats because you can sort of recline and have a bit of a stretch out or whatever. Because I'm a tall guy, as you know. I need my space. Yep. But she was moaning that I had the one next to the window, and she was sort of complaining that she had the one on the aisle. And I said, oh, you know, you're going to have problems there because it's so close to the toilet. People are going to be knocking into you. You're not going to be able to sleep. They're going to be bumping them. And she was like, oh, I might have to move seats. So she ended up paying $260 or something to upgrade it to a different cabin. So when she left, obviously, which was right at the start of the flight, I had the seat next to me free as well, so I could put all my stuff there. It was great. Yeah, no problem. And I got a little bit of sleep. So, yeah, it's all good. I can't complain.
I think people knew you on the flight and wanted to avoid... So that scene from Aeroplane. You know that scene from Aeroplane where everyone's sort of hanging themselves and drinking malt?
Yeah.
It's a bad day to give up drinking.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing... that's the kind of thing I think would happen there. But anyway... You're safe and sound. You're not any problems. You know anything?
A bit tired, but you know
you haven't come back to any. No, you've come back to a nice, happy house. No problems. Everything fine.
Well, the car's in the garage. The car's been in the garage ever since before I left, actually. And the guy just rang me about 10 minutes ago, and he said that'll be another £400 for a windscreen wiper motor. So you know, this is my life. You know, come back, someone slaps you with a £500 bill, but there you go.
Can't you find a windscreen wiper motor on eBay and just get someone to fit it? Like,
well, that's what I am doing. The motor itself is like £400 or £500. It's expensive stuff.
If anyone's got a windscreen wiper motor, what car is it? What model? What car are you?
It's a Qashqai.
A Qashqai. Let Sean know.
It's a bit late now. I've just told the guy to order it and get it done. So you know.
Well, if you do have one, don't post it to him, so you'll never get it.
No, I won't. I never get any mail.
No,
I don't know whether it's a good or a bad thing, but the post round.
Well, just say to the guy to send the bill through the post.
Yeah, but I've got to get my car back, haven't I? It's not like he's going to release the car without me paying him.
I suppose so.
I'm not going to get away with that one, I don't think.
We've reached the quarterfinal stage over in Indian Wells. We've got some matches this evening to talk, which are in action. Two of our picks are through to the... What is it? The last... How many players are left it? 16? How many players are left in it?
Well, there's some through to the
12. There's 12. And we got two in the 12. We've got Taylor Fritz.
Well, they weren't official picks, were they? The official pick was Dimitrov, but they were the two of the three that I suggested, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Dimitrov and Taylor Fritz, we've sort of given glowing... Well, Dimitrov was our pick and Fritz was one of our leans. So they're both through, two of the players through to the last 12. And what we've seen over the last couple of days, Djokovic got beat, big shock. What do you make of that one?
Yeah, I didn't see the match because it wasn't on at a time suitable for me, unfortunately. But I'm not surprised that Djokovic hasn't made the latter stages. You know, he's this season he hasn't shown anything really yet, has he? So I'm surprised that he lost to Nardi. But I'm not surprised. That's kind of why I was okay to take, you know, Dimitrov and Fritz in that top half of the draw, because I wasn't that worried about Djokovic really. He's not playing anything like, you know, the way he was last season at the minute. And he's going to need to step his game up a little bit, I think.
Yeah, hasn't played since the Australian Open. Come here, beat Barnardi. Got a lot of tennis to come up. But if you look at the Bet Rivers prices on the futures, they haven't really reacted to that defeat. And I think that was a sort of a really, really bad defeat for Djokovic. I mean, the French Open, he's still second favourite, plus 220. If you look at the odds for the US Open, he's the favourite behind plus 180. And it's in as $3 and the Alcaraz is $3. Even Medvedev is $10. For Wimbledon, he's still a favourite again, plus 140. Sinner 4, Carlos Alcaraz plus 230. I'm not buying this Djokovic favourite for these things. I want to be fading him on everything at the moment. I think his time's sort of come to the end, and I think Jannik Sinner, as we stand now, is the world's best tennis player. And I think at some stage this year, he will overtake Djokovic as world number one. And I think he'll go into a lot of these tournaments in the summer as the tournament favourite. I just can't understand why Djokovic is the favourite for these tournaments. I don't get it.
Well, we've seen this before, haven't we, when he's had layoffs. He's come back and he has
not struggled. Not at this age, though, Sean. Not at this age.
Well, what is he now? 36? 36, isn't he?
I think he's 36, 37.
30,
I'll check.
37 this year, I think. Yeah, but he does it time and time again, doesn't he? I mean, obviously, there's a cut-off point. At some stage, you might be right, the cut-off point. He might have reached that point now, in which case, you're ahead of the game. What you're saying there is going to prove to be a value as far as betting the majors is concerned. But yeah, we've seen him do it before. We've seen him have these layoffs and come back and be awful. And then generally that happens at the sort of start of the clay season. And then by the time he's got round to the French Open, he's firing all cylinders again. We'll have to see. Can he still do it at the age that he is now? I don't know.
He is 36, 37 years old. I think there is there's clear declines in his game at the moment. And I would never bet him at plus 220 to win the French Open. No chance.
No.
Plus 180 to win the US Open. Not for me. Wimbledon potentially plus 140, but
I wouldn't bet him to win anything at those prices.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it doesn't. I just think the market looks wrong in all the futures. I think he's the wrong tournament favourite.
Sorry, the problem is who's going to take advantage? It's probably going to be Sinner or Alcaraz, in which case you aren't getting a massive amount of value anyway because they're going to be pretty short in price.
Well, I think you are getting the value because I think Sinner's 4-1 to win Wimbledon and Djokovic is plus 140. And there is I think Sinner could start favourite. So you are getting decent value in my opinion. I think Sinner at $3 to win, and I'm not really sort of convinced by Sinner at the French Open just yet. But I think Sinner at $3 to win the US Open, I think that'll be a complete flip-flop. I think Sinner will start plus 180 favourite, 150 favourite, and Djokovic will be the 3-1 second favourite. I'm not saying Djokovic can't win it. A lot of people get on the comments whenever we sort of, not criticise, but we sort of derogatory towards Novak Djokovic. He's the one player that everybody criticises on the comments. I'm not saying he can't win it, but he is absolutely no value on these current lines. The state, this version of Novak Djokovic at his age, with the improvement that Sinner has shown and obviously the class that Alcaraz has at those odds, absolutely no value. I'm not saying you could bet him at plus 140 and you can win. No problem, you can cash it, but you will get bigger price when the tournament comes. I just don't see any. I can't see him going on these winning runs like he has done before. I think he's definitely on the decline.
Yeah, you're risking it anyway. If you're backing 37-year-old, as he will be by the time most of these tournaments come around, you're backing the guy who's that age. He's got that many miles on the clock. It's risky anyway. The state of his body and all the rest of it. But it's the kind of thing. They're not my sort of prices, are they? But I can see the value for a lot of bettors who do sort of bet at those prices. I can see what you're saying. Yeah, I think you're right. Djokovic is at the minute, the way that he stands at the minute, he's not looking like favourite for anything. So
no. You
certainly wouldn't bet him on futures to win one of the majors this year. At the minute, you'd be looking around for someone at sort of double figure, 20, 25 to one plus, who might take advantage.
Yeah, that's all coming up in the course of 2024. Obviously, there's some big developments in the tennis world. Obviously, the Saudi involvement as well, which while you've been away, Sean, we will probably, it's not really for our place to talk about that. We're talking more about the betting. We'll have to wait and see what happens there. Mm. But that's all to come over the next few months. The stories will emerge and they revolve. And you look at all this stuff will be covered here on Betting Weekly Game Bet Match as well, on the tennis side, on the betting side. And the French Open now is what? We're kind of going to clay swing in about 3 weeks' time. It's just changing. It's going to be upon us very, very quickly. And Novak Djokovic has got a lot of work to do. Talking about work to do, we're talking about the two quarterfinals tomorrow in Indian Wells. You were there firsthand. You saw the conditions. Nothing's really changed, I guess, from the conditions. What's the weather like going to be like for tomorrow for these quarterfinal matches?
Stats. Sorry, mate. I've got some stats now, finally, from the main draw. So after 78 matches, the conditions are basically exactly the same as it was before. These people saying it's quicker. I said I wasn't convinced. It hasn't turned out that way. 78% holds of serve, 71.7% first serve points won. That puts it pretty much exactly the same as the last 2 years. So no significant change in the conditions, as I suggested, the whole time I was there, really. As far as the quarterfinals are concerned, we're talking about the quarterfinals today. Only four of the last 15 underdogs have won in the quarterfinals. It averages 27%. So you do get some underdog winners, but, you know, as you can imagine at this stage of the tournament, not too many. But the weather is interesting as well. It's getting cooler. For once, I've not got the worst of the weather when I'm over there. It's only going to be 21 degrees and the possibility of a bit of rain on Friday. As we're talking today on looking at the matches that are on now, I mean, it's also going to be 22 degrees. So it's taking a downturn, the weather, in the next few days. So cooler, you would imagine, a little bit slower, not much sun on the courts and the possibility of a bit of rain. That's for the forecast for Friday.
And let's see who is suited by those conditions. We've got two matches to talk about today. The quarterfinals, the action starts at 3 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow. I'm not quite sure whether they're going to be starting at 3 o'clock. We've got some women's matches as well. But the two matches, the two quarterfinals, is the first one we're going to speak about is that man, Jannik Sinner. He's an overwhelming favourite at -835. In my opinion, he's the number one player in this world currently. He's on a perfect season in 2024. He's on a winning run of 18 successive matches. And he's up against a man who served us very, very well yesterday, Jiří Lehecka, who bet Stefanos Tsitsipas at +170. It was a lean for 2-0 as well. And that cashed at +370. So he's done us a lot of favours here. But now he runs into a very, very tough opponent in Jannik Sinner. Now, Jannik Sinner is a heavy favourite, -835 at Bet Rivers. No surprise there. Lehecka is +575. The spread is 4.5. Sinner, heavy favourite on that as well, -143. Lehecka +112. And the total here is 20.5. Which does appear to be a little bit cheap to me. Over at 20.5 is -110. Under is -115. The pair have met once before, way, way back in 2019. Totally irrelevant, really. It was in a challenger in Ostrava, which means nothing. Sinner's on great form, 12-0 in 2024. Lehecka's playing his best tennis of his career this week, arguably. Great wins against Rublev. Backed that up with a win against Tsitsipas. So Lehecka's got a... He's going to come in here full of confidence, but obviously Sinner is just the man to beat in the world of tennis at the moment. But what do you think of the value here?
Well, it's a step up, isn't it, for Jiří Lehecka? I mean, we did well, didn't we, with him against Tsitsipas. Tsitsipas was terrible. I don't know whether you saw the whole match, but I mean, Tsitsipas was awful. Lehecka's in this Indian Wells, Lehecka so far, 112 service points won and return points won total. Jannik Sinner, 121. So that's over, obviously, a few matches. It's not, you know, it's not massively important, but it shows you the level that Sinner is playing at. 2024 at main level. Lehecka, decent numbers, 104 service points won and return points won total, and a hold break total of 107. But Jannik Sinner, 112 on his service points won and return points won total, and his service hold and break total is 124, which is kind of reminiscent of Federer, at his best, and, you know, Djokovic, anybody at the top of the game. You know, Sinner's held serve 94% of the time so far this season, but the caveat is that he has saved a pretty big 84% of the break points against him, and he's winning 59% of the second serve points. I'm looking at Jannik Sinner at the minute and thinking, where's the obvious weakness in his game? You know, he's holding serve 94% of the time. He's winning almost 60% on second serve as well. Where's the weakness? How is Lehecka gonna break him down? I'm not so sure that he can. I mean, his best level that we saw against Rublev, I didn't think he played that great against Tsitsipas, to be honest. Tsitsipas was woeful. If you're in the Stefanos Tsitsipas camp and you're watching that match, you'd be thinking, well, where's this guy heading? You know, not only was he terrible, he didn't look like he was that bothered about being terrible either. I don't know whether I'm reading that wrong, but
no, you're reading it bang right. He's been like that for the last year, though, isn't he?
He has, off and on. Sometimes he's been okay. He played all right against TFO. All right, TFO was dreadful, but in fairness to Tsitsipas that day, he played all right. But against Lehecki yesterday, there was nothing there, was there? He was sort of trying to fire himself up a bit towards the end, but he could have lost it 6-2, 6-2, couldn't he? Lehecki was three times a point away from serving for a 6-2, 6-2, and I'd be worried about Tsitsipas. But going back to Lehecki, the level that he showed against Rublev and at times against Tsitsipas, would be enough, I think, to make Sinner play, to give Sinner something to think about. But I'm not sure it's enough to win unless Sinner has a poor day, which is always possible. I've looked at what Lehecki has done against top 10 opposition in his career. It's not great. 3 wins and 13 defeats so far. And if you look at what he's done against the current top 10 in the last 12 months, he's 1-6 win-loss, and his service points, 1 return points, 1 total is 92. Sinner's is 103, by the way, against the top 10 in the last 12 months. So it's going to need a dip from Sinner, and it's going to need Lehecki to play sort of somewhere near what he played against Rublev, I think, to make this a competitive match over the course of or two or maybe 3 sets. I would imagine it would probably be 2. But looking what Lehecki has done this Indian Wells, he's held serve 91% of the time against decent opposition in Rublev, Nakashima and Tsitsipas. So if he starts out that way and carries on the form that we've seen, the best of him, this Indian Wells, I think the over 9.5 games is quite cheap here in set one. It's minus 108, 1.93 for the opening set just to go to 10 games or more. I think that's potentially the best option. The other slight negative for Lehecki, if he needed any more negatives, is the fact that he hasn't played a night match. And this might not be a night match, but it very well could be. If it is a night match, he hasn't played one. Sinner's just played one last night against Shelton. So advantage to Sinner there as well. So it's a difficult one to bet. I expect Sinner to win it. I'm not so sure that Lehecki's over beyond the first set. I'm not so sure Lehecki is going to be that competitive unless he pulls out his absolute A game. So the bet I suggested, I think over 9.5 in set one is perhaps the best option for me here.
It has been a sort of common trend that the first set here in Indian Wells has been quite competitive, and then the players have gone on to run away with set number two throughout this tournament.
Yeah, that's what would worry me, sorry mate, about the overs would be that a second set blowout if he loses the first set 7-5, 7-6, 6-4, whatever, you could see the second set. The trend is there, isn't it? I talked about it earlier on. There's an awful lot of straight sets matches in Indian Wells, so that would worry me about the overs, but yeah.
It's what we saw last night in the Sinner-Shelton match. First set was very tight and Sinner...
We said set one overs in that, didn't we?
Yeah, we give it a lean towards a tiebreak as well, actually. So, I mean, this is I like the bet minus 108 over 9.5 games in set number one for a lean for Sean. As I said, the first sets have been very competitive, and then the form player has pretty much run away with the second set. And Sinner is certainly the form player in the world at the moment, minus 835 to get the win there and book his way through to a semi-final again in an ATP Tour 1000 event. The next semi-final, but before we come on to that, I'll just give you a little special offer that BetRivers have. And they've been running this during the Sunshine Double. BetRivers is offering a tennis net gains parlay profit boost. Each day you can receive a profit boost of 25% or more for a tennis parlay wager of 3 legs or more. See the BetRivers app for details. Now, obviously, this tournament in Indian Wells, there's not only 2 women's match, men's matches, there's 2 women's matches as well. So you can parlay up some of those matches as well in to get that profit boost. And that's running throughout the Sunshine Double here in Indian Wells and in next week in Miami. So check out that offer on the BetRivers website. Next match, Alexander Zverev. We've been quite negative about Zverev's chances in the last 2 matches. When he's come through, he's up against Carlos Alcaraz, who coming here we thought may have had a bit of an injury. He hasn't shown really many signs of that. And he's up against Zverev, and he's a minus 250 favourite for the Spaniard here, the Wimbledon champion. Zverev is $2. The spread is 3.5, minus 127 for Zverev, receiving 3.5. Even money for Alcaraz, minus 3.5. And the total here is much higher at 22.5, with both of them around about minus 110 for the over and the under. If you look at the head-to-head, if you're a fan of the head-to-head, you'll be certainly leaning towards Zverev because the two of them have played 8 times, no strangers to each other, and 5 wins for the German, including 2 wins in his last 2 matches. against Alcaraz, which was a win in the Masters Cup last year in 2023, and this year in the Australian Open, where Zverev came through in four sets. So Zverev, we were quite negative. Well, I was quite negative against Dimitrov. We give O'Connell a chance in round one.
Mm-hmm.
He's beaten those pretty comfortably. And Alcaraz doing what he does, beats Auger-Aliassime and beat Marozan, gained revenge for that shock defeat in Rome. Head to head is in the Germans' favour, in Zverev's favour. Should we look into that, or should we just disregard that completely?
It's a bit of a weird head to head, to be honest, this one. I've talked about it before. I've got it on my screen here. The first two matches you can kind of ignore because it was when Alcaraz was just coming through. But a lot of the other matches have been heavily influenced by fitness and fatigue, particularly fatigue. Zverev has played a couple of matches against Alcaraz when he's been absolutely shattered after really, really long matches. There's other ones that haven't favoured Alcaraz either, because he's like the one at the Tour Finals at the end of last year. He was injured then, so he wasn't in the best of form. Again, you could say Australian Open start of this year, again, Alcaraz wasn't really at it. But I'm still relatively negative about Zverev at Indian Wells. I'm not keen on him here. That match against Dimitrov was awful. I mean, I did say in the preview that I couldn't back Dimitrov as a slight favourite in case his level dips from what it has been for most of this year, all of this year, and it certainly dipped. I mean, it was horrible. The wind was blowing. I know there were difficult conditions, but there were 74 unforced errors in that match between Dimitrov and Zverev. I think he's been fortunate, Zverev, to be honest, this tournament. Griekspoor choked against him. O'Connell was injured. And Dimitrov was absolutely appalling. So I think he certainly had a bit of luck to get as far as he has, Zverev. You're not saying he wouldn't have won their matches anyway, but he certainly had his fair share of fortune. The interesting thing that Zverev said about that match against Dimitrov, he described himself as the worst player on tour in the wind. And that might explain the sort of mediocre record that he's got at Indian Wells. I don't think he's ever been past the quarterfinal stage at this tournament. And his Indian Wells record, it's just a 65% win rate and a service points won and return points won total of 102. Now, that is pretty mediocre when you consider the best level and the best statistics, the best data that's come from Alexander Zverev. So I think the conditions favour Carlos Alcaraz. I think there's much more chance of an upset here than there is in the Lehecker match, because, you know, Alcaraz has struggled with that Zverev serve. If Zverev is firing his serve on all cylinders, again, this could depend on when the match is played, daytime or nighttime. If he comes out and serves really well, he can certainly keep this competitive. He's shown that he can beat Alcaraz in quicker conditions, like the Tour Finals at the end of last year, like the Australian Open at the start of this year. Can he do it on a slow, high-bouncing hard court in sort of blustery wind Indian Wells? I'm not so sure. As I said, the head-to-head is a little bit peculiar because of injuries and fatigue and all that sort of stuff. The problem is I've got with Zverev here is that his first serve has been his main weapon against Alcaraz, but is it going to be a weapon in these conditions? If you look at what these two have done on second serve points, it's heavily in favour of Carlos Alcaraz. If you include all the eight matches, and that includes the ones when Alcaraz was a much younger player, he's still well ahead in terms of the second serve points won. He's won 52% of his second serve points, where Zverev has only won 44%. So the first serve is absolutely key for Zverev. It could take this past 10.5 in the first set. That would be where I'm looking here. If Zverev comes out, serves as well as he can and as well as he has against Alcaraz in the past, I think there's a pretty decent chance of that going over 10.5 games. And that's a pretty juicy price, plus 210 with Bet Rivers, that is. I suspect Alcaraz will win it, but I'm not so sure it'll be easy.
Yep, over 10.5 is a nice price, a nice plus money price there in the first set. And as we said, the first sets have tended to be quite close in this tournament as the tournament has gone on. 41 different markets available on that match. It's only a quarterfinal that Bet Rivers have on offer for you. And as I said so many times in the show, you will not see a better array of tennis betting markets than on offer at Bet Rivers. And you will not see a better amount of content on sports betting or tennis and soccer anywhere else than you find here on the Betting Weekly Studios. So remember, you should follow us on our socials at Because We Win on our Instagram and also our Twitter account. Keep across of everything that's going on there. Subscribe to Betting Weekly Studios on YouTube. It's a big weekend of soccer, the Premier League this weekend, and also all the action across Europe. And obviously next week, the Miami event where I'll be at. And I'll be posting across Instagram as well as that. And also download the podcast, Betting Weekly Game Bet Match, on your preferred podcast provider. So this is the place to be for your number one tennis and also your soccer action as well. Only two matches, Sean, and we just sort of broke them down into some kind of great analysis there, really, on the stats. But are these bets or these sort of what you've come across, do they warrant an official play or is it just leans for us today?
These are leans, really. At this stage of the tournament, it's got to be somewhat that's really appealing for me to kind of want to get involved. I can't see Sinner or Alcaraz losing, really. It's very, maybe if he has an absolutely brilliant day, he's 100% best form, maybe. But, you know, Alcaraz's statistics, I didn't mention them, actually. Sorry, Alcaraz's record here, by the way, 87% win rate and a service points won and return points won total of 113. I forgot to mention that. I did mention Zverev's. I didn't mention Alcaraz's. So, perfect conditions for Alcaraz. It looks like he's coming into some decent form. Zverev's going to have to play. He's going to have to serve his absolute best. That's the bottom line. For me, to answer your question, I think it's just leans, really. There's nothing that makes me really want to press the button, to be honest.
So the ideal scenario will be a tight first set in both matches. Sinner come through, play Alcaraz in what promises to be a fantastic semi-final. Hopefully, we're going to have one more show this week where we'll be previewing the semi-finals. Probably only the one match we can do, but we'll have a little look at the semi-finals, talk about the world of tennis, maybe have a little bit of your insight into those future markets as well on the majors. Remember to give us a comment, put the comments on the box below. Let us know, do you think Novak Djokovic should be favoured? Let us know what you think to win the majors coming up. Is Sinner the man now? Is Alcaraz coming back? For me, I think Djokovic is no value whatsoever. If you want to bet Djokovic, tell me the reasons why. I know he's got the history. I know he's fantastic. I know he's the record breaker, but he is 36 and these young players are closing the gap very fast. Give us your thoughts on that. Give us your thoughts about the Saudi involvement as well. Any questions you want answered, you can put them on the message below and we will answer them as well. Sean, have a good day. We'll probably catch up with you in a couple of days' time before next week when we preview the event in Miami. And remember to head to BetRivers site. There's lots only action on the quarterfinals and the men's draw. There's also the women's action as well at the 1000 event here in Indian Wells. Have a good day and we'll speak to you again soon. Take care.